Broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline, this is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandra.
The weekly gathering place for over 1 million freedom-loving gun owners, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. Welcome to it. What is that? What are you doing?
Happy trails to you.
You're just...
I'm resigning my position from this show. Yeah. Effective...
Oh, good, please, right now.
We're looking at a date now. Let's get a few things.
There's excitement in the control room right now.
Let's get a few things out there while it's early.
Okay.
This Friday, Evan Knappen will be here. He will be on the show, and he'll be doing his gun law seminar.
Gun law.
Two seats left. If anybody wants to sign up, you better go online and sign up right now. Two seats left. He's also working on getting a CEU accreditation for this.
Lawyers?
Yes, which would be retroactive, by the way.
Why would he do that? Why do you want to train other lawyers how to...
Lawyers are always... They have to get a certain amount of continuing education units of credit every year to keep their credentials active.
He should be able to do this for prosecutors is what he should do.
Oh, that would be a good thing.
Yeah.
Prosecutors. He's going to be talking about my prosecutor on the show. So don't miss the February 13th show. And don't miss the great one, Evan Knappen.
Is he going to be able to discuss any of this?
We're going to discuss some generalities. We can't discuss all of the specifics until the next court, the battle is over. I had three battles this year, two down, one to go. Mm. And that one's almost done. I just want to thank all my supporters and well-wishers and everything. It's going to be a good learning experience for all of us. Now,
I wouldn't even thank the people who sent you the dead cat. I thought that was good.
I tell you what, it was a little funky too. It should have been fresher.
I know. Do you have to open it in here? Though? That was a big problem.
I think it was a Sicilian message.
I think so.
All right, listen, NRA ballots. If you've received your NRA ballots, I'm asking everybody to bullet vote. A lot of people are writing me in as a write-in. That's fine. You can write in Anthony P. Calandro if you want. I'm not going to win if you write me in, but you can try if you want. I'm saying vote for two people, Scott Bach and Joe DeBurgolis. Joe DeBurgolis from New York, the vice president of the Association of New York Rifle and Pistol Clubs.
Both very good men.
I'm the vice president of the New Jersey Rifle and Pistol Clubs. Scott Bach is our executive director of ANJRPC. They're both board members. They're both young. They're both free-minded. They're not owed, they're not tied to the old guard there. Bach and DeBurgolis. Now, if you want to vote for one to two more people that are either from your home state or you know personally or something, that's fine. Don't vote for any more than that. You're going to water it down. If you don't know what bullet vote is, look it up, but make your vote count. Don't vote for too many people either. Bach and DeBurgolis. Now, I'm going to do an ad right away, Sandy, because it's going to lead into something.
Okay.
Montville Executive Suites is in Montville, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. Ron Seuss is a strong advocate of ours. He has 38 private offices, telephone answering, mail receiving, forwarding, meeting rooms, and the ability to hold seminars and events for up to 70 people. He let the SOAR group hold their event there. His website is montvilleoffice.com, Montville Executive Suites on Facebook. For as little as $58 a month, you can have fractional ownership, rental in a professional environment. Ron, need you to kick some ass in Montville. The pussification of America.
Oh, that's sad.
Montville, New Jersey has a councilman
that
came to a realization that sleigh riding is potentially dangerous.
So we're going to ban it.
So they banned it.
Yeah.
You know what
Ron should do?
Go ahead.
Unfortunately, he doesn't have any hills there, but he does have a drainage ditch next to his property. So maybe he could have sleigh riding in the drainage ditch. I would do it in the parking lot.
Sandy.
Horse-drawn sleighs.
Bike riding's dangerous.
Yeah.
Taking a shower is dangerous.
I was going to say getting out of bed is dangerous. Working in radio is very dangerous.
Looking at me and making a face or saying something off color is dangerous.
Yes, that's true.
Confusing my kindness with weakness is dangerous. Okay? Listen. This buffoon in Montville banning... They banned it, by the way.
They did.
They banned it. Yes, they banned it. Sleigh riding's banned. They have a ton of hills in Montville.
Yes, of course.
Okay.
God forbid, this
is where all the real housewives live
what?
And shit, too.
I mean, are we the last generation that's going to be normal? Seriously. Yeah. Are we the last generation who's going to know what it feels like to get on a sleigh with now, 16 other kids and go down a hill?
Every person that the news stuck a microphone in front of their face, they were outside a shopping center in Montville, was like, you're kidding, right? They're like, of course it's dangerous, like anything else, but it's a rite of passage as you're growing up. Everything in life has risks. One woman's like, I'm a nurse. I work in the emergency room. She says, yeah, every winter we see some sleigh riding accidents, but isn't that just the normal part of life?
Right.
I you know, this is the kind of jackass that they would ban pointy knives.
Oh, yeah. Well, they have. You know? I mean, this is just another iteration of the same thought, isn't it? This is Michael Bloomberg telling you what's best for you, as if we can legislate away all things that are dangerous. Flash, people are going to get hurt no matter what.
The libertarian in me has been saying for 25 years, I don't believe in helmet laws, but
no,
I wear a helmet when I ride a motorcycle.
Right.
I don't believe in seatbelt laws, but I wear a seatbelt
right
before I move 1 inch in any vehicle I get in,
right,
including my 66 Impala convertible. It has lap belts. I wear them, okay? But I don't believe Big Brother should tell me
correct
what I can or cannot do. I believe that common sense has to prevail. Now, the government says, well, we have a lot of stupid people, and if they don't wear helmets or seatbelts, they get hurt, and it taxes our system through the medical system and everything. Well, I also believe in the theory of natural selection. And survival of the fittest.
There is also the law of unintended consequences. And one of the things that I bring up in some of the seminars that I do is the fact that specific seatbelt law, if you were to trace it back, there are more accidents as a result of the seatbelt laws that are very dangerous than without.
How?
Well, all you have to do is put your kids, if you're used to doing this, get into a car with your wife and your children and make sure they do not buckle their seatbelts, and you tell me whether your driving changes.
Yes, it does.
Absolutely. And one of the problems we have with seatbelts is the fact that because you click that seatbelt up and you put the airbags in there, you start to take reckless chances where you normally wouldn't have taken reckless chances before. And your behavior does change. So that's one of the unintended consequences that happened with seatbelt laws.
Gotcha.
It's just really, it's something that nobody ever thinks through. When they decide they're going to legislate safety or legislate things for public welfare, when the collective becomes more important than the individual, we have real dangerous situations, and that's the same mindset. It's going to happen with guns. It happens with everything that we do. The collective is not more important than the individualism. Otherwise, we might as just live in a communist country. For over 20 years, attorney Evan Knappen has seen what rotten laws do to good people. That's why he's dedicated his life to fighting for the rights of New Jersey gun owners. A fearsome courtroom litigator, one of the first lawyers to ever get a federal injunction against a state gun law. An unrelenting gun rights spokesman, tearing away at the anti-gun propaganda to expose the truth. Author of 5 best-selling books on gun rights, including Knappen on New Jersey Gun Law. The bright orange gun law Bible that sits atop the desk of virtually every lawyer, police chief, firearms dealer, and savvy gun owner in New Jersey. That's what's made Evan Knappen New Jersey's gun lawyer. New Jersey gun laws are designed to make you a criminal. Don't become the victim of New Jersey's vicious anti-gun legal system. This is the guy you want on your side. Keep his name and phone number on a post-it note attached to your New Jersey firearms ID card in your wallet and hope you'll never have to use it. But if you live, work, or travel through New Jersey with a firearm, the deck is already stacked against you. Keep his number with you always. You can find him on the web at evannappen.com or take the link from the Gun for Hire radio resource page. Evan Knappen, New Jersey's gun lawyer.
Becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed.
Valentine's Day is a celebration of love. And what better way to say I love you than giving the ones you love a gift to keep them safe? Lipstick Bodyguard. It looks just like a beautiful little lipstick. But just like a beautiful woman, it has the power to bring a grown man to his knees.
Lipstick Bodyguard. Fear no evil. Get yours today, only at LipstickBodyguard.com.
Your Valentine will love you for it. Hurry and order early.
Well, it's the last week to order Lipstick Bodyguard, so you better get into Gun for Hire in Woodland Park and buy one, or you can even go to Philadelphia Firearms Academy.
Let's do it
Philly.
Right now. PhillyGunTraining.com.
Yeah.
Jose has the Lipstick Bodyguards down there. We have them here at the Woodland Park Range, Gun for Hire, and you can buy them online at LipstickBodyguard.com.
Yep.
And if you're in the Philly area, Trenton area, South Jersey area, Jose at Philly, PHILLY, GunTraining.com. Sandy, tell everybody where he is and what he does, because I screw it up every time.
He's right on Spring Garden Street, right around the corner from the gun range and right across the street from the local precinct there in Philadelphia. And he specializes in first-time shooters, and he is a student of Anthony's.
He's been trained by me. I made Jose an NRA instructor about 7 years ago. And
yeah, we did it together. Remember, that was a great day. Yep,
he's taking advanced classes and the whole bit, and he's been around forever, and he became a training counselor.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the man.
So he trains trainers.
Yes, he trains trainers as well, and he's the man. Jose's a great guy, great people skills, personality skills, family-oriented. His facility looks like a spa inside.
Yeah, it really does.
It really is very nice. If you were going to bring a nervous person, definitely a place to bring him. You know, I was just out in the range area before, and a guy grabbed me. Who's a member of the range, Al, and he's like, I brought an anti-gunner to the range today and converted them. And, you know, you talked about that all the time.
Yeah.
You know, each one reach one. And that's what we really want to do. You want to continue. It's the winter time now, and a lot of people have cabin fever. And all of our listeners out there, all over the country, if you have firearms and you're an avid shooter, why not, for a little winter homework assignment from Gun for Hire Radio, get one person.
Mm-hmm.
That you know is either anti or on the fence.
Yeah, or a gun agnostic like I was, like Bach was.
Correct.
We're two, you've destroyed both of our lives.
Good. That's what Bach says all the time. So, you know, introduce a person or two, at minimum, one person. Bring them to the range, show them that it's not all Duck Dynasty swamp people looking.
Right.
Show them how wholesome it is and how much fun it is. Show them that there's kids involved. You know, Sandy, going back to the helmet law and everything, you know, I also believe in natural selection. You know, if you're going to stick the butter knife in the socket, well, we don't really want your kind there anyway, because you're going to spawn children that are going to stick the butter knife in the socket.
Right.
And I think all the laws we've had are allowed our society to become a society of boobs with the pussification of our country.
Well,
I think it just goes
exactly right.
Hand in hand.
Exactly right. You see what's happening in Britain. You see the mentality in Britain where no one really steps in to deal with anything. They expect for the government to come and take care of it. This
Correct.
It's a socialist mentality, and it doesn't work. America was built on rugged individualism.
No.
And we are unique in the world to be able to think freely for ourselves. We're losing that ability. We're losing it when a guy like me makes a very good living going around teaching people to think independently. That's kind of sad when you stop and think about it, isn't it?
Unbelievable, man.
When you have to really, with something that we grew up on, something that this country was based on, to this groupthink that takes over and it infiltrates society to the point that we are not doing anything on our own. We're not thinking for ourselves. We're waiting for the government to fix all of our problems. You know, there are still people, all you had to do was witness what happened during Hurricane Sandy to see what has actually happened to the voters in New Jersey, to the people in New Jersey, in a socialist utopia that we live in.
You know, Brian Williams, when he was reporting, he saw a chariot with laser lights. Go through Tom's River.
Wait, I was wondering about how long it would take for that.
He saw a chariot with laser lights go up the Navasink River.
That's pretty good.
Hurricane Sandy.
That's very good. And was he hit by mortar fire there too? Or
yeah.
How sad.
He's spinning now, huh?
Well, you know, the problem is Who do we believe anymore? You can't believe the media.
I believe in Piers Morgan.
Do you really?
That's all I believe. Because I know everything he says is bullshit.
It's just bullshit.
So
yeah.
I believe that.
Well, I mean, anytime a politician, really now what's going on since, well, we've talked about this a year ago this summer is when the government made it legal since the first time, since the Woodrow Wilson administration, to use propaganda against its own citizens.
Yes.
And you're seeing a result of that right now.
Propaganda against its own citizens. Then we should try our commander-in-chief who compared the burning of the Jordanian major to the Crusades.
To the Crusades 1,000 years ago.
I think we've evolved since then.
There was something called the Reformation that happened after
yes.
that. And you're stoking me here.
I did it on purpose.
Yep, because what we did not get into was the fact that why did the Crusades happen? It happened because we were fighting
the
freaking Moors,
yes.
right? Who were coming in, destroying churches, killing Christians, and building mosques on top of Christian sites. They were building temples on top of them.
Correct.
So in retaliation for that, not to say that that was a good thing, please
but
hear me,
it was 1,000
that the Crusades
years ago.
Were bad. We're a freaking 1,000 years ago, yes.
Our president, anyway, he should be tried. The other thing is, want to talk about a lame duck bullshit bill? Federal legislation was introduced yesterday, co-sponsored by Che Menendez from New Jersey,
yeah.
to go with a 10-round magazine ban federally again. They don't have they don't have enough votes in the House or Senate
right.
if they were to double the anti-gun votes.
All they're grandstanding. Doing is they're just grandstanding for their own, you know.
So anybody who sees it,
pockets.
I talked to some NRA ILL people, they're like, it's going to die on the vine.
Sure.
They're just doing it for political grandstanding,
right.
you know.
Right.
So forget it. Now we're gonna spill back to New Jersey. We hit some federal stuff, but don't forget those nasty Crusaders.
We're still worried about those, and that's what led to all of this.
Listen to this: this murder and mayhem gun ring was busted in New Jersey, basically out of Newark, and they busted a bunch of people. The state police bought 22 firearms from this member of the ring over the period of 3 months. 11 assault rifles. 8 of which had high-capacity magazines, as well as a regular rifle and 12 handguns with hollow-point bullets. Now, the guys they busted, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Out of the 19, 11 have asterisks next to the names. Below is a full list of those charged, with asterisks indicating those with prior
felony
convictions.
Yeah.
Revolving door.
More than 50% were
catch and release.
Already felons.
Yes.
What the hell are they doing on the street to begin with?
But here's what happens. Everybody out there listening, you know how Jersey is so tough on crime, right? A man who tried to sell guns illegally in Bergen County got 5 years probation.
Yep.
Dustin Roballo Arcos, 36, of Louisville, Texas, is expected to be deported to his native Ecuador when he tried to unload 6 handguns for $7,200.
I love the way they try to frame that, too. He's from Texas. He's not from Texas. He's Ecuadorian.
Yes.
He happened to have a last address in Texas where he was staying illegally.
But now, this is a guy that you gave him probation.
Probation, yeah.
So these other shitbags, these 19
you gave
shitbags,
him probation. And then you sent him back to Ecuador.
Correct.
Where he can now buy more guns and bring them into the United States.
So you tell me,
mm-hmm.
what incentive is it not to commit crimes? These other 19 shitbags who can catch and release.
But if we have a full bladder, and God forbid, we stop on our way to the range to relieve ourselves, we face 7 years in state's penitentiary.
Correct. Like Shanine Allen.
Yes.
And Brian Aiken.
Yeah. Right.
And everybody
who did
else in
absolutely
the long list.
Nothing. And there's yes, exactly right. A long, long list of the abuses. But the real criminals, we have a problem prosecuting them for some reason.
You know, and then like the police in Woodbridge, cops want to know where 5 teens got handguns and hollow point bullets. These kids were out, you know, screwing things
up. But the best
up.
Part was, did you read the article? The best part was the hollow point. How much they made of the hollow point bullets? These
2 of them.
You know, there were 2 in both mm-hmm. in the Newark case and in the Woodbridge case.
Mm-hmm.
They focused on the hollow point bullets. And if you read the I think it was NewJersey.com, there was a whole string of comments behind it where they called the reporter out because he called them illegal hollow point bullets.
Correct. And they're not.
They're not.
They don't understand. In New Jersey, hollow point bullets are only illegal in the act or commission of a crime.
And he cited the proper 2C code to try to make his point, but apparently he didn't read that 2C code.
Correct. Well, which is normal.
Yeah. He's just a reporter.
Going over to our brethren in Illinois, the Illinois concealed carry law has been a non-event. And it has not turned the state into the Wild West.
There's not the blood running in the streets like the Bloomberg group said that there was going to be if they passed that?
Could you imagine that? Hey, so when we come back, we're going to have Charlie on the show.
We got some Ask Charlie questions. We got a lot of Ask Charlie.
For many people, walking into a range the first time, it's quite intimidating. So when you walk in through the double doors, the first thing you'll see on your left is a concierge. When people walk in, they can take a tour of the range, or maybe they're coming in for an appointment with one of my instructors or me, and they'll be directed to the right classroom. It kind of softens the entire experience. It makes people feel more at home. As you walk further into the range, you're going to notice we have New Jersey's only indoor 50-yard range, which is heated and air-conditioned. The dividers at each port are bulletproof. They're extra-wide ports so two people can stand side-by-side and shoot. There's lights in the ports, so you're well-lit. We also have three times as much light downrange that the average range would have because I believe it's important that the targets are well-lit. Our target retrieval system is all digital. You program how many feet you want to send it out, and it stays there. Both of our ranges are tactically baffled, which means when we run our higher level courses, you can move forward to the firing line and shoot in any direction, and bullets can't escape. When you come out of the 50-yard range, to your left, you'll see our large classroom, and go back up to the concierge and make a right, we have two smaller classrooms. And those classrooms are for small one-on-one classes, our Build-A-Bear, building an AR. As you enter through there, you'll see that we have a portal with a key to go into our Platinum Lounge. They can sit around and watch TV on the leather chairs or couches, and they can maybe work deals with their clients. And you normally don't see a cafe in an indoor range. In New Jersey, we have this archaic law where you're only supposed to go from your house to the range to the house with no unnecessary deviations. I'm seeing a lot more families coming in now where they have multiple kids and the wife will stay in the cafe with one or two kids and they'll do a handoff. To me, it's very important that people are treated like family, so the bathrooms are very high-end. We used marble and Corian and really nice tile and full-length dividers so that people are comfortable when they come in. When you exit the bathroom, you'll see the Gun for Hire radio studio where Sandy and I tape our show. After you pass that and you make a left, you'll notice our retail area. Over 120 firearms for rent. As you turn 180 degrees, you see the large sections of bulletproof glass. That's our 25-yard range. And inside our 25-yard range, we have 13 ports. Those ports are even wider than the 50-yard range. Both ranges have full-time range safety officers. In case you have any questions or concerns, they're there to help you.
Broadcasting truth from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain. You're listening to Gun for Hire Radio, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation.
Freedom.
And we're back.
Italian. This segment is brought to you by Waldorf Chiropractic. WaldorfChiropractic.com. WaldorfChiro.com. Located in Bridgewater, New Jersey. His Facebook page is Waldorf Chiropractic. Let me tell you something. Dr. Arik, strong supporter of the Second Amendment. If you or anyone you know lives within a 30-mile radius of Bridgewater, please check out the doc. If you don't, please send your friends or family there or refer your friends or family there. Let's keep supporting those who support us. Now, we got a lot of emails for Ask Charlie, so we're bringing Charlie back into the studio. We're going to be rotating Charlie, Jimmy, Furon, Uzzolino, everybody who's pertinent to answer all these questions for all of our listeners. So today, Sandy, you had the first one. Charlie, how are you?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good.
Charlie, I got there's a Gun for Hire radio listener who also happens to be a neighbor of mine who stopped me in the driveway on my way out, and he had a question. He apparently got a booklet from the state when he went down to apply for his firearms ID card. He's from North Carolina, just moved in, and he was confused of the two ARs. He said there are a he. the two ARs are listed on there that are illegal, both a Bushmaster and a Colt AR. And he said, how come are ARs illegal in the state? I said, no, they're not technically. But he said, so why is it just a Bushmaster and why is it just a Colt? Could you answer that?
Tell him about in 1992 when the law changed, guns were specifically named by name. So tell him that and how it affected us.
Mm-hmm. Specifically named by, was it the Florio administration?
Florio, 92.
Florio, yeah.
Florio administration, they picked certain firearms to make them illegal because they had certain features on them. Bayonet lugs, they could accept magazines over so many of a capacity, which right. is still, they could still accept the magazine capacity, and they had a flash suppressor on it. Now, if you call the state police and you ask them, you know, I'm getting this gun in, it has this type of device on the muzzle, they will tell you, what does the manufacturer designate that device on the end of the barrel to be? If they say it is a flash suppressor, it's no good in New Jersey. If they say it is a muzzle brake, it's fine
it's
in
okay,
New Jersey.
Yeah.
But whatever, we kind of covered that with Jimmy, but the thing is we're talking about is, remember, when they passed the law, Colt made an AR-15. Bushmaster made an AR-15. Mm-hmm. Those guns were banned. The next day, the manufacturers brought those guns back to their facilities and manufactured new guns that were not etched, lasered, or roll-stamped that said AR on them, 15, and they weren't banned anymore.
And that's fine.
That's fine now.
The Colt was changed from the SP-01, I believe it was, SP-01 model. Did he put the Colt Sporter on it?
And that was it. Same gun.
Mm-hmm. Same gun, identical. Just shipping it with a 15-round magazine instead of a higher capacity magazine, and the gun.
No bayonet lug.
Yep.
And they closed Pin up a stock. Couple holes on the flash suppressor.
That's it.
And that was it.
Yep.
Yes.
So those other two guns. So a Bushmaster AR from, I guess, pre 1998 would it be, or is it? Did Bushmaster change it?
1992.
Now, did Bushmaster change their manufacturing also, or change the stamp?
Oh yeah,
they all did.
All the manufacturers changed them. A lot of manufacturers, AK manufacturers, and everybody, they changed the naming of the nomenclature of their guns. Maybe changed a little, like he said, a hole here or a pin to stock here, and the guns were perfectly legal the next day.
Wow.
The problem is, us guys, we had 90 days to surrender, turn them in, ship them out of state, sell them out of state, or render them inoperable.
Remember, we had a register?
Yes. When people say that you can't, confiscation can't come here, 1892.
It already did.
I had gone to Trenton with Charlie and the guys and old Manny from the bullet hole and everybody, and I had gone to D.C. for gun rallies and everything back then. That's back in 92. That's when it really started for me when I got into the 2A activism. So it's been a while.
Yes, remember Florio Free in 93.
That's what it started, yeah. Florio Free in 93. We all had those stickers on our gun bags and everything.
Go ahead. They had said at the time that you could have kept the Sporter-type guns, the AR-type guns, if you had shot competitively in matches, but you would have to go to the police department and register them. And what was the amount that they had registered throughout the entire state? I think there was only 200 guns registered throughout the entire state.
Oh, my God.
Because after registration comes...
Confiscation. Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
I don't want them to know I have it. It's out. Charlie, listen to this. This is from Al. Hi, Ant. I know you're busy, so I'll be brief. I heard you say you have a Daniel Defense carbine in 9mm that shoots Glock mags. I might be wrong on that. Does that animal really exist, or did I have a brain fart? Finally, I didn't hear the Sarge mention anything about your JR carbine. Which caliber is it, and what's its reliability rating? Every video I see on YouTube has failure to feed. Hope all is well with you and yours. So what's our 9mm Daniel Defense? Is it a 9mm? Is it? No, it's not.
No, we have a double diamond.
Oh, double diamond in 9mm.
Double diamond 9mm, and we have the JR carbines in 9mm.
And how are they operating?
Fantastic. Well, the JR carbines were sent back. They are older models that we had. We acquired them secondhand. They did go back to the factory for a refurbishing and an upgrading of several parts in the interior of them. Once they came back, prior to that, they weren't firing reliably. We sent them back. We got these upgrades done to them, which was an upgrade to the feed ramp, upgrade to the magazine well, an upgrade to the firing system, including the recoil spring. Once they came back from that upgrade, you know, knock on wood, they've been operating flawlessly. The double diamond that we have, which is also an AR platform, accepts the pistol magazines. It just runs great. It really, really runs great. It's a good pistol caliber carbine to shoot, and a lot of fun to shoot. You could get a box of 9mm ammo for just about the same price that you pay for a box of .223, and you're getting 50 rounds worth versus 20 rounds.
So yeah, 30 more rounds for the same price. Recoil profile is completely different. If you want to introduce a new shooter, an AR carbine platform that shoots 9mm is like shooting a 22.
Yeah.
I mean, a 223 is not a heavy recoil either, but the muzzle flash and the concussion can get to people sometimes, you know, at over 2,000 feet per second. Now you're dealing with a 9 at around 1,000 feet per second. It's just not as brutish on the shooter. So it's a great starting point, I believe. So I hope that answered your questions, Al. Here's another one. Charlie, I heard and enjoyed your appearance on the show last week. I'm considering an S&W Centennial 642, your type of guy. What is your take? Do you have an opinion on whether to go with the SADA exposed hammer, the shrouded hammer, or the enclosed hammer? This would ultimately be a CCW where allowed, so I'm thinking shrouded or enclosed to avoid snags on clothing. Lastly, what's your take on the Crimson Trapes equip model? Thanks. Jeff Schanneberger. P.S. I was one of your students in Utah class late spring at the Citizens Rifle and Revolver Club. Talk to him about that.
Oh, the S&W, I personally carried it 640, which is the enclosed hammer revolver. I've carried it 35 plus years. Fantastic gun. Takes a little bit to acquire a good trigger pull on it because there is no hammer. You can't shoot it single action. But it is one of the best, if not the best, I say, close range, self-defense type handguns.
Now, I will tell you, Charlie and I are both students of Masad Ayoub from way back, 20 years ago. And I'll tell you right now, Ayoub will tell you, go with the shrouded or hammerless revolver.
Yeah.
A, you don't have to worry about it snagging on clothing.
Right.
B, it's much more of a court-proof gun because a prosecutor can't argue that you cocked it and fired single action by accident. Okay, you can only fire a double action, so that's more court proof than anything else. And I carry a 640 also when I'm allowed to carry guns.
I also do too. It's the same gun.
Yep. And again, you know, people didn't know what Bianchi speed strips were. They looked them up. Google Bianchi speed strips. Google Masad Ayoub using Bianchi speed strips, and you'll have everything you need to know on that. But that's the way to go.
And you can reload that firearm in a second and a half.
Okay. Charlie, Jeff also asked about Crimson Trace. Putting a laser on that little
fire. I can weigh in on that one.
Let's hear it.
Well, I have a 642 with a Crimson Trace. The problem is when you index your finger, it blocks the laser.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that out again the other night when the alarm went off. Thank God it was a false alarm, but the alarm went off in the middle of the friggin' night, and I'm coming downstairs, and the laser's not showing. And it's showing on my hand, and I forgot about that. It happens because you forget about it when your adrenaline's pumping and everything else. You just go back into that whole gross motor skill thing, and you forget all the little things, the little weird nuances about your firearm.
Now I'm going to tell you, I think lasers are good for alternate shooting positions.
Mm-hmm.
If you're laying on the ground shooting under something, cover, it helps you align your sights better. But, you know, the five-shot revolver wasn't designed for long-distance shooting. It was, you know, most shootings occur 7 feet or less. Average shots fired are 3. And, you know, that's really a belly gun. And I don't trust anything that takes batteries in it, Jeff.
Right.
So me personally, I don't have a Crimson Trace on it. Well, I bought the first Ruger LCR that came out in 38. And it had the Crimson Trace grip, and I traded it with John Brandon, who had one that without the Crimson Trace grip.
Yeah.
And I didn't ask for any money.
Yeah,
I just didn't want the grip.
Yeah, exactly.
I wanted the rubber grip. The other thing, Jeff, is your grip should be smooth, kind of hard. Let's talk about that when we come back. Let's talk about grips on the belly gun.
All right, great. Excellent.
Everything I do gonna be funky. From now on.
Time and memories. The two most precious things you can give someone. No cell phones, no video games, no electronic devices. No interruptions. Just your favorite gun, a couple boxes of ammo, and time spent together. The folks at Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range believe there's no time like the present. And no present like time. Step through their doors and you'll feel time stand still. It may look like a luxury shooting range, but what they really sell is the perfect day. And perfect memories are made from perfect days. Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range, where family memories begin.
we're back. We're up. Hello? Oh, Curly's in the studio.
All right, Charlie. It's funny. Charlie has more to say during the break than on air.
I know.
Charlie, well, tell us.
He's getting used to radio.
I know.
Leave
he just
him
gave
alone.
Us. He just gave us 10 revolver tips. Go ahead, Charlie. Tell him.
No, the with your grips on your little 640s or your little revolvers, your little 5-shot revolvers, you want something that's smooth, something that you can conceal, and that when you're taking it from concealment, you're not going to have a tacky grip on it. Tacky grip, it's going to hang on your clothes. It's going to hang up coming out of wherever you're drawing it from.
Your shirt could ride up on it.
Absolutely.
And if your shirt rides up on it,
then you get everybody in the world know what
printing.
You have.
Yeah. If you have a smooth grip, your shirt will fall back over. If you have the same thing with your holster. If your holster is out, you don't want a suede or split holster. You want a smooth holster so that your clothes follow gravity and fall back down over.
Right, just slip okay? right over the top.
How about
of
the
it?
Old Barami hip grip?
Barami hip grips. I have them in every color. White, pink, black, and everything. Tell them about a Barami hip grip,
Barami
Charlie.
Hip grip.
And spell it for them. B-A-R-A-M-I hip grip. Go on their website.
I'm
it's all they
down.
Sell. Barami hip grip. Go ahead.
Great one for concealment. It basically allowed you to put your revolver in your waistband and clip it on your belt. And it held it within your waistband between your belt and your body.
Really?
Oh, envision this. You're right-handed. Right. The right side exposed grip is a normal grip.
Right.
The left side has a prong sticking out of it. I'm sorry. The left side is a smooth grip. The right side has a prong sticking out of it. So you can stick it in your waistband or between your pants and your belt. Mexican carry. It's
wow.
called Barami hip grip.
The Glock came out with something similar, too, for the rear of their guns. And a couple of the guys I used to work with in the department, they used to carry it, too, where they would basically just stick the gun in their waistband, and this little metal clip would ride on the outside and catch on the belt and hold it there on the waist.
Yep.
Really? And it worked, even running and doing whatever? Wow.
Yep.
Tighten your belt up.
Oh, and that's it?
Yeah.
So Barami's been around forever. They even make it in white. So if you're, like, wearing a white T-shirt, it doesn't print as much on your body. They make black. They make pink. They make yellow. It's the only product they make. I haven't bought one in about 10 years. I own a couple in every color. You have to order for J-frame or, you know, square butt, round butt, or whatever.
You order it directly for the gun.
From Barami, yeah. And they come in as little blister packaging. They've been around forever.
Wow.
But, you know, so we talked about that. You want a smooth grip. You know, you don't want a target grip that's soft, malleable rubber that's going to help absorb the recoil, because you're only going to fire a few shots in self-defense anyway. Any other tips, Charlie, for our listeners?
Practice with what you're going to use. Practice, practice, practice.
Both hands.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right. Both hands.
Both hands. What about ammo choice, Charlie? What would you recommend for someone who's not law enforcement and is retired?
Federal. I love the Federal Ammunition Company. Federal, you look at Remington, they make ammunition, they make guns. You look at Winchester, they make ammunition, they make guns. You look at Federal, what does Federal make? Federal makes ammunition. They got it together in ammunition. Now, the ammunition that I like, and you have to make sure that it functions properly within your gun, no matter what caliber you're using, is that Federal EFMJ, the expanding full metal jacket. It's a full metal jacket, but it expands like a hollow point. Great ammunition to use, but again, if you're going to use any ammunition in your gun, make sure that it functions through your gun. Take it, buy it, buy 150 rounds of it, put 150 rounds through your gun before you get in some type of situation where you fire it and the second round out of it jams or it doesn't feed.
Sure.
Now, Knappen talks about that EFMJ because of the state of New Jersey, because it looks like a full metal jacket. It functions the same way, right? But then it expands.
It expands like a hollow point would expand.
But it's perfectly
100% legal.
100% legal and really unnoticeable, too.
Yeah.
You know,
most people don't want to shoot it just because of the cost, but what is your life worth?
Yeah, exactly, right.
Yeah, that's pretty short-sighted.
that's probably one of the dumbest excuses I've ever heard. Or they'll practice with cheap ammo in the range in a carry gun, and then they'll load different ammo inside the gun to carry, and they've never tested it or fired it four or five times. Well, you know what that stuff cost? Well,
I hear that all the time. We hear that all the time.
What's your family worth?
Right. Right, exactly.
But it's the same thing like putting cheap tires or brakes on your car.
Right,
because they were cheaper. Go with the cheapest tire, the cheapest brake.
Right.
That's smart. We hear about that from people all the time, so what are you going to do? The thing you want to practice with that little 5-shot revolver is obviously you want to practice drawing and firing with one hand, pushing out, and shooting, you want to practice reloading with speed strips.
Absolutely,
or speed loaders.
Can you reload it with one hand?
Right.
Can you reload a revolver with one hand? Try it. Try it sometime.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of dexterity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where are you going to put the gun once you unload it to grab your reloads to put it in the gun?
Right. That's a good point.
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. Now, if you carry a 357 38, let's say what model Smith & Wesson would be 357?
327. You could have a 640 and a 640 and 357.
Okay, so let's say you practice all
the
time with
38. But that's a bigger gun, though, right?
Yep.
A little bit.
Yeah. So let's say you're going to practice all the time with 38s. You get a powder ring builds up inside the cylinders.
Mm-hmm.
So now you finish at the range with your 38 specials, your 38 reloads, and you load five 357 magnums in, and they're a little tight going into the cylinder because you have that carbon ring built up.
Yeah, good
now,
point.
Now, after you fire those five rounds, try ejecting those five cases.
Oh, they're going to get
stuck. They're stuck right in there.
Okay? Yeah. So you better learn to clean the shit out of that gun.
Yeah.
Before you're going to carry it with a longer cartridge in it.
Absolutely. That has happened to me. You know what?
The star ejector will jump over.
Right, yes.
We'll
jumps
jump
right
over.
Over, yes.
And you're now you're screwed.
Now you're totally
now
screwed.
Now you turn and run screaming like
yeah.
Jerry Lewis.
Yes.
You got a exactly. hammer. That's all you
yeah.
have. You don't have
right.
a gun anymore. It's a hammer.
Pretty much you can throw it. That's about it. That happened to me one time. I bought some reloads from a state trooper who used to reload. And he, you know, the, what the hell is the
wad cutters. Wad cutters.
And, they were great. I used to love using the wad cutters, but they were dirty, and it really fouled up the cylinder.
Yeah.
And then when you go to put in a 357 in there, it got so tight, and sometimes even just the 38s, you put it in there because of the wad cutter is so short. It's basically a case, right?
That's it.
And man, you could. It was just that ring built up because you'd shoot. I'd shoot maybe even. It was punishing. But out of the 642, I would shoot maybe 150 rounds out of it and then go home and, you know, make sure I clean the living crap out of it. Now, what's your thought on using brake cleaner?
I don't care for. It wasn't designed for guns. It used to be a good, quick fix
right.
because it dried dry and you could, you know, remove any solvents or oils from the gun by that.
Yeah.
Use the cleaners that are specific to guns.
And there's a million of them.
There are. And a lot of good ones out there, a real lot of good ones out there.
Because the brake cleaner is kind of, it can etch into the...
It can be...
Yeah, I wouldn't use it.
...harmful to guns. It can be harmful to... You have like a set of Beretta grips. They have the plastic grips on them.
Right.
You get that...
Right.
You get that brake clean on there, it could start to eat the grips up on you.
Yeah.
You know, what does it do to plastic surfaces? Have you tested it on plastic surfaces before you use it on your gun? And now your grips are melting.
Right, exactly. Now you've got a big problem.
That little orange insert in the front sight is melting out because you use brake clean on it. It melts plastic.
That's healthy.
Yep.
So, yeah, you want, Jeff, let's full circle back. You don't want an exposed hammer on a concealed carry gun.
And I'd say get rid of it. Forget the Crimson Trace because it's basically useless. I keep it on there for my wife, just in case, you know, in the middle of the night. But you're talking, that's the whole thing is a belly gun. Another thing, too, is the fact that when you're coming down the stairs in the middle of the night to clear your damn house because the friggin' alarm is screaming at you, telling you that you've got an intruder in the house, a little five-shot revolver, you feel pretty friggin' naked. I wanted a shotgun with me at that point. I did not want a five-shot revolver. So we have to talk next week. Nappin's got a recommendation for me on a shotgun, and we've got to order it for me.
How often you change the batteries on that Crimson Trace? Because you know they're going to fail as soon as you need it.
I do the same thing. I change them like with the smoke detector thing. Yeah.
I got a quick letter from a member. Hey, Anthony, you know what I like most about Gun for Hire 6-star range? Your most important asset... I'll read it when we come back.
Yeah, we'll have to do it when we come back.
Second minute.
I like to watch him get aggravated, though. Don't you like to watch him get aggravated? All right, we're coming back.
I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise. And although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing, which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a lipstick bodyguard and keep it with you always.
So, this gentleman, Vinny, writes, "You know what I like most about the Gun for Hire Six Star Range? Your most important asset of all, the people who work there. Your employees always go above and beyond, but this week, one employee in particular was a prime example of why I'll never go anywhere else. Let me share something with you. Last month, I took Bill Fearon's holster drill course. He's amazing, and the course was absolutely perfect. We've spoken about him before. He's a great instructor, hands down. Last night, I decided to try working on my holster draw at the range for the first time since the course. The first time out solo, holster draw is a pretty intimidating experience. I've practiced over 1,000 times at home to build that muscle memory as advised. As I walked into the 50-yard range, the first thing the RSO did was greet me by my first name. That's always big. I know he really didn't know me, but it was the first sign of that personal touch. Anyway, I started slowly and deliberately thinking through every small move. Out of the corner of my eye, I could see the RSO watching everything I did. He finally came up to me. Here we go, as if I wasn't tense enough. I figured I must be breaking some rule or something. Just the opposite. He told me he had been inspecting my form and my scan, and it was good. Then he asked if he could work with me. He loaded all of my mags randomly and then started calling off shots, like I had a personal trainer. I can't tell you how impressed with his willingness to help and his knowledge. You know when you finish something and you can see the marked improvement over when you started? That was one of those times. I was sure to thank him and shake his hand. His name is Louie, and he's absolutely stellar. Not to mention, I was one of the last guys on the range on Super Bowl Sunday. Anywhere else, somebody would be nudging me out the door. Not this guy. I'm not sure if you handpick the people that work for you, or if they're just drawn to excellence, but you're the best. The only other place in the world that's really found that secret, in my mind, is Disney World. I guess there's room for two happiest places on Earth. I personally like the one with the guns.
Yeah, me too.
You guys are the best.
The guns.
Regards, Vinny. You know, Vinny, in our staff meetings once a month, I compare ourselves to Disney World as the happiest place on Earth and the whole customer experience. So your letter brought a tear to my eye because this is what we fight for. I don't personally hire everybody anymore, but I personally inspect, and we hire slow and fire fast. And when you have an organization that the 99.9% majority are all on the same playing field, the crap rises to the top and gets knocked out real quick anyway. Yeah. They just don't fit,
right.
Okay? They just don't fit.
They ricochet right off
correct.
The system.
So I really want to I really want to tell you that I appreciate that input there. We got another letter from Chris Smuda, our buddy from Canada. I heard my name last week.
Chris
woke
Smuda,
up and rewound the show. And I am now heeding your call.
Wait. He did what?
He
rewound
the
show? Chris, you just gave away your age, dude. You just lost half the audience here. What do you know? We rewound. What did he rewind?
He has an 8-track player.
Reel to reel.
Now
reel
we know Gun for Hire is good for something, and I did some research and got some learning. F you, Sandy. He wrote it, not me.
Chris.
When it comes to armed, unarmed law enforcement in Canada, I have prepared the following for your information. If it says police on the side of the car, they are armed. The last to be armed was the Royal Newfoundland Constabulary in 98. Prior, they were only allowed to remove sidearms from their vehicles with the chief's permission.
Oh, my God. Yep.
Also, shotguns are now being replaced with patrol carbines for most agencies, ammo included, unlike New Jersey. Corrections officers are normally trained in the use of firearms and would only carry if they are transporting an inmate to court or a medical appointment, which begs the question, wouldn't gas for the shit-rag beggarator be cheap? Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, absolutely.
National park wardens were armed in 2009 after an eight-year debate about having the tools needed for the law enforcement duties they have been doing for 100 years.
They were armed how long ago?
2009.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So what happens when you come in touch with a giant freaking bear?
You turn and run.
Oh, my God.
Canada Border Services was armed in 2007 and it's expected to be completed by 2016. Why our borders were not guarded by people with guns prior is beyond me. Likely due to senior civil servants with six-figure salaries, expense accounts, and single-digits IQs that are more worried about liability than security. I couldn't have said that better myself.
That's great.
Parliament Hill Security, the Blue Shirts as they are called, were not armed until October of 2014 when Johnny Jihad came storming in. Okay. Fish and wildlife officers are armed along with federal environmental officers and Department of Fisheries and Ocean officers due to the remote nature of their work. Courthouse security may or may not be armed depending on their assignment and what province they're working in. Department of Transportation officers, conservation officers, municipal bylaw officers, animal control officers, hi Winston, and public transit officers are normally unarmed, but most carry batons, handcuffs, and pepper spray. They do encounter shitbags with warrants and will arrest them when they find them. When they find an uncooperative drunk with warrants, pepper spray is normally used. Those with knife, bad attitude, and other non-barrel weapons will usually get a baton or pepper spray combo. As you can see, Canada isn't as pussified as Europe. The only thing missing is proper castle doctrine and citizen concealed or open carry. Hopefully, one of the listeners in Europe will respond to Sandy's request, but because I too am curious about what's going on. On a final note, my only hope is that Europe doesn't slide back into fascism, communism, or become caliphate. I would hate to see those efforts and sacrifices of the Canadian and American armed forces, veterans of World War II, wasted in my lifetime, as well as England, members of my extended family included. Shoot straight, lots and often, Chris Smuda from the People's Republic of Canada. Couldn't agree more, Chris. And I have an article ahead that all the police officers in Europe are saying the biggest problem is now that they're outgunned.
Yeah.
European police chiefs say why gun control is not working in their countries. We're outgunned. Okay, it's come to them now.
You know, it's interesting. I've got a cousin who is a police chief in a town where my family is from, and she's been to a number of NYPD training classes and whatever, and she keeps coming back with tactics that are not allowed to be used in the towns, in the municipalities, or whatever, and only really the carabinieri, the federal police, are allowed to carry any type of high-capacity weapon or high-power weapon of any kind. She still uses a Beretta sidearm. Her officers. Yeah.
Well,
she uses a 9mm.
Oh, does it have a flap holster?
Yes, with a flap holster and the little telephone cord thing.
Uh-huh.
Hanging from, what the hell do you call that thing?
The lanyard.
Lanyard, yeah. And they all have to have that, and they have to have a flap holster.
So when they run, they don't lose the gun.
Right.
It's attached to your belt.
And the flap holster. It's amazing. And speaking, Chris brought up the fact of fascism and communism, the things that are going on according to relatives and clients in Italy. The Nazi party is making a huge rise back into Italy. The fascistic parties are making a big rise. And now the communist and socialist parties are merging with the damn Nazis.
Yep.
It's just
they're going to use that synergy of discontent.
Of discontent, yes. And what's going on right now is the fact that the economy is collapsing in all of the EU, and we're having it happen here too. How much longer can we continue to print money at the rate we're printing it right now with $3 trillion of funny money?
Till we run out of ink.
Yeah. Before it all comes crumbling down.
We're close.
All we need to do right now is just bump interest rates, and it all collapses down. What the hell do you think it's going to look like? You saw Hurricane Sandy. What do you think it's going to look like when the dollar crashes, when the entire world economy crashes, and your dollar is worth absolutely nothing? I don't know when it's going to happen, but I do know it's going to happen. I don't know when, but it's going to happen. You know, if you do not know how to protect your home and protect your family, you need to learn now. And I think it's a great, you know, not to do a commercial for Gun for Hire, but it really is the time to come in and learn from guys like Fearon, learn mm-hmm. from guys like Charlie, learn what's, these are guys who are on the front line, have spent years, their entire careers on the front line. They've seen more shit bags in the case of in their case. True, Charles? Yeah. I mean, and there is a personality that they can deal with, that you deal with all the time, that you can definitely identify and at least be able to read into, which the average citizen doesn't.
No, they really have no idea.
No.
They're just waiting and they think Big Brother's going to help them.
Right.
You know?
And it's definitely not going to happen. Right.
It doesn't work that way.
Right. And when the shit hits the fan, and one of the cool things about it is the fact that I've got one detector somewhere in the house that is misbehaving, and it happens almost all the time in the wintertime, like just every year, it's an inside motion detector that goes off from my recording studio.
Is ice falling
inside
outside or something?
I don't know. Probably. It could be.
Ice cracking?
It might be.
A sound sending a vibration that's the right harmonic right. or whatever.
Yeah,
that's setting it off. That's what it would probably be.
Yeah, because it's not a perimeter alarm that goes off, and that's kind of how I know, but I mean, I literally have to, and you go through this because it's a big difference from when we were doing Sims training where you know somebody's going to break the glass and you know they're coming through and still you get freaked out. I'm telling you, by the time I got to the bottom of those stairs, the adrenaline was pumping so bad, it was it's very difficult to try to even control peripheral vision. You don't know where it's coming from. I made so many mistakes. I did everything wrong.
And then did you go back and practice the next day with a clear head?
Yes. But the problem is that no matter how many times and we do the kind of sort of drills and stuff, and it's just my wife and myself, but the problem results in the fact that you're still and I would not do anything different. I know I'm not supposed to clear my house. I know that. But my personality will not allow me.
You miss your dog.
Maintain the high ground.
I do miss my dog.
Maintain the high ground.
And I have a perfect, in my home, I've got a perfect fatal funnel built right into the stairwell. You come up that stair, I'm going to take 5 shots right at your head. As you're coming over, you can't see me, but I can see you.
Maintain the high ground.
But like an idiot, I have to go down.
Sorry, buddy.
Dude, it is. It's that male thing. I don't know what it is.
Listen, guys. This Friday, Never Napping, 2 seats left. Friday the 13th.
Got to get in.
Masad Ayoub, Meg 20 and 40. May 28th, 29th, 30th, 6-1 and 6-2. You want to be here, all right? Carbine Test Drive, February 10th. Big Rig Test Drive, February 23rd. Shotgun Test Drive, February 24th. Clinics, Force on Force, February 18th. We have Urban Pistol 1s, Urban Pistol 2s, Urban Carbine 2s, 3s, all out on the calendars. Come on down. Charlie, thank you again for being on the show.
Thank you.
Send in those questions. Ask Jimmy AR questions. Ask Charlie for your gunsmithing questions. Talk back at Gun for Hire Radio to make fun of Sandy.
And join the Facebook page. Well, you've done it again, Chris. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Gun for Hire Radio. Gunfire Radio is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music, LLC, New York, New York, and their license of Broadcast Music Incorporated. I'm Sandy Berardi. On behalf of my co-host, Master Trainer Anthony Calandro, Charlie, thank you so much for coming in, and the rest of the crew here at Gunfire Radio, we do thank you so much for listening. It is Valentine's Week, guys. I'm just letting you know this is the time that I buy all my lipstick bodyguards and marry them with chocolate and send them out to all the women in my life. Flowers are great, but they're not going to protect their life. You can order from lipstickbodyguard.com, but make sure you order early because supplies are running out. Very busy time. All right, Winston, do your thing. See you next week.
Shine.